I'd like to remind all participants this conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you very much, Kelly. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is a BC members call taking place on the 29th of March, 2013. On the call today, we have Aisha Hassan, Caroline Greer, Aparna Sridhar, Elisa Cooper, Chris Chaplow, Andrew Mack, and Steve Del Bianco. I would like to remind all participants to please state their names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Elisa.
Thanks, Benny. Benny, would you be able to advance the slides so that we can see the agenda? So first of all, I want to thank everybody for joining today's call, and I really want this to be very conversational. I'm really hoping that we can share ideas across all of the members, and the purpose of the call is really to review the survey results and to talk about those survey results and to try to get some direction for the business constituency to make this a much more valuable organization in terms of meeting the needs of our members. And so I have an outline that really kind of maps to the survey results, and hopefully you also all have the survey results. And I'm not sure, Benny, if you're able to upload the survey results in a format that we can see. If you can't, that's fine, but I know that we all have them. And also I would just remind folks that there is a link to an Adobe Connect room that Benny has set up that was in the meeting invite. And so I'd like for us to kind of, one, start off with talking about improvements to communications, basically your ideas or ways we can improve communication, your thoughts on the level of information that you're getting or what would be more valuable or what would be more helpful for you to understand, basically what's of greatest concern to you. Then I want to talk a little about focus and effectiveness of the BC. You know, some ideas that I had, you know, might be identifying sort of top issues and what we can do to make this organization more useful for business. You know, there's been some talk also about improvements to accountability and transparency and just any other items or ideas that you have for making the BC a better organization and more useful. Then the third area I wanted us to touch on is charter changes, because there's been a lot of discussion about wanting to see some changes to the charter, and I wanted to get feedback from others and identify what those changes might be, not that we're, you know, going to be able to make too much headway on that right now, but at least get that conversation going. And then finally wanted to wrap up talking a little bit about outreach. So if we can start off talking about improvements to communication, and I just want to throw it out there to get your feedback on what we should do to improve communication, what would make it easier for you to follow what's going on at ICANN and what's going on with the business constituency. And I just want to throw it out there and hear your ideas. So I'd love to hear from anyone what you think we should be doing to improve communication within the BC.
Alyssa, this is Bill Smith.
Oh, hi, Bill. if you can, I see that Aisha just also raised her hand. Would you mind going after Aisha?
Yep, I'm fine.
Okay. Aisha?
Thank you, Alyssa. It's Aisha Hassan. First of all, I thank you very much for putting together this survey and for doing all of the work that you and the XCOM have been doing in this regard. In terms of improvements to communications, I think we've already seen things moving in a good direction, and we can build on that. Keeping the emails very focused, very clear, with the subject matter focused so that we can follow the train of discussion, continuing that and building on it would be very helpful. I think that the in general, we've seen an upward progression in terms of the types of communications that are going on the BC lists, and that I would say let's continue to make sure that that's the way that things are going. Just one suggestion: I think it would be helpful to understand if there are, particularly from some of the newer people in the group, and this might be something that they're not actually, newer people are not on the call, but I think we want to keep listening to what some of the new and fresh voices might have to say, because their needs might be a little bit different than some of us who have been in the BC for a long time. something to keep in mind. Thanks.
Yeah, I agree. Anybody coming into one of our calls or trying to understand could easily... I just know from years ago when I started to become engaged, it's very confusing. It can be very confusing. Bill, I think you had a comment?
Yeah, I agree with Ayesha's comments. I think we are, seeing a sort of constant, if not speedy, improvement in things. But that's okay. Constant improvement is good. I actually think the issue is bigger than the BC, though. I think it's really an ICANN issue. Keeping track of the stuff that's going on at ICANN is at best difficult. And I certainly find myself almost always in react mode. And on the ICANN site there's better information these days. But knowing what is happening, where things stand, and being given reminders would be about certain things would be nice. Also, if we could somehow and subscribe to those things that mm-hmm. we care about, that would be useful to me. And I don't know if others, but ICANN is basically, it's just doing, there's too many things going on, I think, to be able to pay attention to all of them. And then the things you care about can get lost in the sort of the wash of events that are happening. So like I personally can get behind in the email by several days.
Oh yeah.
And then that becomes a problem because then I try to figure things out. So if there was some way to subscribe to topics of interest that mm-hmm. might be beneficial or something that we could talk about. But I think it's a bigger issue for ICANN really, and that's something we might want to raise with them.
Does anybody have an interest in utilizing some sort of social media platform, like a closed group somewhere? Is that of interest to anyone?
I might mention that the My ICANN really does address Phil's concern about single topic items of interest. I don't know whether ICANN will make it available to the BC for us to use ourselves. But Phil, do you use My ICANN right now where you specifically pick topics and frequency of updates?
No, I don't use it.
Give it a try. See if it starts to scratch that itch, because maybe that's a tool in the toolkit we'll be allowed to use as well. Thank you.
Yeah, no, Steve, that's a great idea. I'll look into it. I have been so turned off by ICANN's website, I rarely go to it. But I'll try that.
At least if I might, it's Marilyn.
Yes, Marilyn.
I wonder if we might ask members to give us some feedback about My ICANN. My own experience is it needs refinement, but in the discussion I had with the ICANN staff, they were very eager to hear about improvement. And maybe we could ask members to use it to give some feedback to the Secretariat and then consider whether it would be...
to
Steve's point, a specialized platform for us.
Okay. Let's see. Andrew, I see you have had your hand up. Thank you for waiting patiently.
Not at all. I'm one of those new people, although I'm not new to the group. I'm new as a member, full-fledged member. I guess a couple of things jump into my mind. Number one is that it is a lot of data. I agree with the two speakers ago who was talking about it, and it's hard because a lot of us have multiple hats that we wear in ICANN world, and I'm still trying to keep up with some of the stuff that happened with the old jazz group and all of it, and there's just an awful lot to do. I like very much the idea that we keep emails really clearly labeled in terms of their subject matter so that you can kind of follow them, and for the things that really aren't a fit, you don't have to worry about it. Some of it also would help me a little bit as a newer person to get a little bit, maybe a little bit of the context, and I'm not quite sure whether that's fair to ask the group, but perhaps there are clearly some things that have been in conversation for in discussion for a long time that I'm unaware of the details of, and I don't know how one comes up to speed relatively quickly, but I'm guessing that there are others in my situation.
So maybe like a new member orientation?
Perhaps, yeah, perhaps. I mean, I think something along those lines might, you know, even if it's just in the way that we're talking about some of the things, the how it all fits together is often a challenge at ICANN, right? And the kind of overlapping stuff, it's sometimes hard for me to know to understand on the face of it why a particular group feels very, very strongly about an issue that I'm just unfamiliar with. And so if we feel very strongly about something like that, it'd be nice to get the background on. And my guess is a lot of new people don't contribute because it is fairly daunting, and it's hard to know what's the important stuff to get in on. I'll have to take a look at my ICANN. I haven't really ever played around with it, but that's a great idea. Thanks.
I personally, just my 2 cents, I personally use my ICANN. The problem is I'm interested in everything, so I find I'm just as inundated with information as I've always been. But,
well, if you have a good system for managing it, because you know we play a couple of different roles and have to follow different things, so I totally get where you're coming from, and I just right now I'm just overwhelmed with the data.
Yeah, no, I am too, and I appreciate all the feedback, and that's some very good suggestions you have there. I see that maybe we have a couple of additional members on the call. We're just on item number one, talking about improvements to communication. And just to recap, we were talking about the importance of keeping emails focused and clear, making sure that we're always very clear on the subject matter line, on the subject line of the email, I think will help to improve make it easier for people to understand what it is we're talking about, possibly having some kind of new member orientation or some materials to members to help explain some of our standing positions and why we feel the way we feel. And we also talked about the need for maybe being able to have some additional possibly email lists or ways to for members to track specific issues that are of interest to them. Any other things you want to talk about in terms of possible improvements to communication? I know that one thing that I had asked in the survey was whether receiving email about events as they occurred was what you preferred, or whether you would rather receive information on a weekly basis, and people were almost split right down the middle, that about half of you wanted to receive the information straight away, and half of you said you wanted to receive it in a weekly digest of some sort. And I'd be interested to hear some additional thoughts if anybody has on that particular topic. Because sometimes, like, you know, ICANN, especially around meeting time, they'll release, you know, 5 things in a single day, so that means 5 emails. And so I just wanted to get some feedback on that from members, if you have any.
No, this is Jim Baskin. I think that that can be accomplished automatically if we have the right email list software, where you can have the system automatically provide just daily summaries for those who want them instead of on an item-by-item basis, or maybe even weekly summaries. We wouldn't have to choose one way or the other.
You mean by using the My ICANN option?
Well, I'm not sure what software or what system it would be that we'd use, but it's a pretty standard feature of most email mailing list software that it has a.
Oh, I'm sorry, from the mailing list itself. Okay.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, that's something we can look into. Benny probably knows more about the mail list options.
And it just seems to me that some people probably have enough interest that they want to know about stuff the moment it happens. If there are other people that really only want to know on a weekly basis, then we should find a way that they get things on a weekly basis, but not reduce everybody else's input that wants it more immediately.
Okay. Yeah, that's a great idea. We'll have to investigate that. Any other thoughts on communication before we move on to sort of focus and effectiveness?
Elisa, it's Caroline. May I add something?
Oh, of course.
You mentioned social media there a few minutes ago.
Oh, yes.
And I'm not sure if you were going anywhere with that or you had some ideas yourself, but I was just wondering, we don't have a Twitter account for the BC, is that right?
No, not that I'm aware of.
I mean, I know some of the stakeholder groups, the registrar group, for example, has a Twitter account, and I mean, this would be less about internal communications, but more sort of, you know, communicating externally, maybe, you know, simple as posting a tweet when we have a new position paper or something like that, but it might sort of get some traction, you know, getting some new members. The thought it implies extra work, I appreciate that, but it might be something to consider.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. I know a lot of people utilize Twitter for informational updates and, going back to that social media thought, what about setting up sort of private groups? Does anybody have any interest in that or, you know, to enable sort of discussion in greater detail as opposed to going back and forth on the email list? Doesn't sound like there's a tenant.
Well, Elisa, this is Aisha. Maybe just one point for us to consider. I think it's an idea to keep in mind where there are issues that would benefit from something between the email list and a teleconference call to flush out issues.
Uh-huh.
It may be also something to keep in mind that people may already feel so overloaded with the many things they need to follow and contribute to have their perspective heard in our discussions, that we'd want to make sure that we're balancing the use of it in an effective manner.
Yes, totally understood. Chris, I see you have your hand up.
Yeah, thanks, Elisa. I just wanted to mention we did at one time have a Ning site for the BC. I know it's sort of heading towards the social media, and it wasn't very successful, so we did have to abandon that one. So we bear that in mind. Actually, I quite like the Twitter idea. If there's a member that wants to volunteer for that one, we might consider it. I took a quick look at the ICANN mail list software and couldn't see a sort of subscriber sections, but perhaps Benny can look a bit more detailed at that one. So those are just a couple of quick comments. Thanks.
Thank you very much. That's helpful. Why don't we move on to focus and effectiveness? So one idea that I've heard from some members is trying to pick issues that we can really focus on as opposed to get drawn into issues which are less important than others. And I wanted to hear whether, you know, picking a handful of issues that we really focus on and get very proactive about is something that members would want to do and what those issues are. So I'll just put that out to the group. I don't know, Chris, is your hand up from last time? Or
sorry, it's up from last time, yeah.
So I would love to hear from anyone whether you think we should just continue on the route we're going where we just sort of react to things as they come up and we just try to manage our time that way, or if there are, you know, a handful of items or three or four items that we want to sort of stake out as being key issues for us, at least for right now.
Lisa, this is Aisha.
Hi. Thanks for...
Well, I'm just... I was looking at the full survey and the types of issues that people had identified, and I think that pretty much pretty much aligns with the kinds of issues that we've been taking up. Maybe what I'm also hearing, though, is that in addition to being responsive to the things that are coming out in ICANN, if we keep in mind that there may be issues that maybe just consistently on our calls and on our email exchanges, keeping in mind that members can be bringing up issues that are not being addressed in our more reactive work, and encouraging that to happen so that we are aware if there's some other issues that should be being dealt with.
Yeah, so one that comes to mind for me that it's not really been, in my opinion, a topic that ICANN has taken up, and it's been registry security. I think, you know, at least for Mark Monitor clients, that's a real issue, especially with the CCTLDs, and I realize ICANN doesn't have oversight over them, but I do think it is something that the business is very concerned with in general when a CCTLD or when any registry has a security breach. So, you know, that's the kind of thing I was thinking about that maybe we want to start taking up more of a focus, at least keeping our members informed, along with, you know, sort of who is, issues, you know, the whole topic of GTLDs in general. So I was just curious to see if others had ideas. Chris?
Thanks, Lisa.
And if I can get in the queue, please, Ms. Marilyn.
Thanks. Yes, I would concur with that and also add, I won't go into details now, but the registry services requests lack oversight, and that's also an area that I think is interesting to BC members if they knew what was going on, but thanks.
Chris, can you give a little more information about that?
Registry services requests, there's a page buried deep in the ICANN website where the registries put in a request for some change in their parameters in which they work. The requests often go to public comment, they go to the board, and are eventually approved. So, I can't remember a recent one, .cat, who is, or something like that. Then they seem to get forgotten. So if you go back and look at these changes, and actually one that I was involved in was the affilius.info, a reallocation after Sunrise, then nobody is from ICANN. It's almost like it's not really a compliance, but nobody from ICANN is really overseeing and watching what's going on and how the registries are implementing what was their approved request.
I
could talk for an hour on it, but it's just an area that should be of concern to us and our members, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree, and that is a great point and something I personally think we could do a better job of following. Thank you for that, Chris. I see Sarah has her hand up, but Marilyn, I think I had heard you wanting to make a comment.
I did, but it's very quick. I saw in the survey some support for the SSR issue, and I do think the security, stability, resiliency issue sweeps some of these concerns, including the one Chris just mentioned, as well as registry stability and registry fallover. And I do think those are of really significant concern to business users. But I don't know if they could fit under that broader category. That might be a way to track them.
Okay, great. Thank you. Sarah?
Yeah, I was just going to say that we're going to know kind of intuitively when certain big issues come up that affect the BC as a whole. So the information John Berard sent around earlier about VeriSign's letter with a long list of security concerns is one. And another big project I just wanted to highlight that I think would be excellent for the BC is that once the new GTLDs are rolled out, you know, we're going to be directly affected, as are our consumers, and so I think we should spend some time sharing information, documenting unintended consequences, frauds, abuses, whatever we see happening. And so I think that's going to be, you know, maybe a working group of the BC can be devoted to trying to document some of that.
Yeah, that's an excellent idea. Aisha.
Thank you, Elisa. I support the inputs from all the three of the speakers who have just come in. And then I just wanted to say that in addition, I think with the second ATRT getting underway, it's important for us to keep our eye on that and make sure that we are watching the evolution issues, organizational evolution issues at ICANN as well, as I know that those issues are important for broader business as well. Thanks.
So one thing that's kind of thank you, Aisha. One thing that's kind of come up time and again, but we've not implemented, is sort of this notion of having smaller working groups that, you know, where a number of people who all have an interest in, you know, focus on ATRT or focusing on new GTLD registry launches. I would like to hear from others what your thoughts are on having these kind of smaller working groups that can go off and meet and then possibly report back to the larger group. Any thoughts on that? Is that something that people are interested in or not interested in? And maybe you can just even use the chat to respond to that.
Elisa, it's Marilyn. We've had talks about that before. I think now might be a time to try it if members are willing to do it, particularly, you know, Sarah just brought up something that some members may have particular expertise in, but it might be a time to try it.
Okay. I think, I mean, I have heard it from a number of members, and I think it's something worth trying because I have heard it. And so, you know, maybe we can think about that. And if members have ideas for working groups that you'd like to head up, let me know, and we can move forward in that direction. It might be a good way for people to focus on areas that are just of interest to them, who already have expertise, and they can share that expertise with a larger group. I kind of want to just open it up for other ideas, just other things in general that you think could make the BC more useful for business. Any ideas at all for recommendations, for, you know, improving what it is we do, anything at all, things you think we should do to improve accountability and transparency. In the survey, there seemed like there were some concerns about you know, some of our members and exactly who they were representing. There seemed to be some concerns about what was going on within the XCOM. So hearing about what your ideas are for improving accountability and transparency or just any other improvements, let me just open that up for discussion. Any ideas at all for sort of improving the overall effectiveness of the group? Chris.
Yeah, just building on what Sarah was saying, it might be an idea to open up a section on the website as a sort of document repository. So any members that have got documents that, you know, that we can put them in, it becomes like a little library. Thanks.
That's a great idea. Sarah.
Well, I personally would like to see some greater transparency in how the decisions are made in the XCOM and then communicated to the membership. So there should, you know, basically, I think that the XCOM shouldn't be kind of a separate place where, you know, members don't have a view into what's happening, you know, and at least when I was on the XCOM, there was just as much communication or more going on that list as on the big list, and I don't think that, you know, all of that necessarily flowed over to the big membership. On one hand, we don't want to flood people, but and I hear this same issue arising in the IPC, but I think members need to feel that they know how decisions are getting made, that there be transparency, and that, you know, basically that be a place where the organization is run with a very light hand, but the default should be deferring to the membership on important issues.
Yeah, I don't know if there's anything in the charter, and probably Steve or Marilyn or Chris can speak to this, but from my personal opinion, I don't see any issue with making that information available widely, but I don't know if there's anything in the charter or any reason why we couldn't do that. because there is, I can tell you, there is a tremendous amount of communication that goes back and forth. You know, hopefully if people are not interested, they can just set up a rule in their email to, you know, have that information go to a separate folder so they're not flooded with a lot of sort of tactical things that are going on. I don't see, like, any issue or problem with doing that, and I don't know if there's any reason why we can't do that. And I guess I would ask Chris or Steve or Marilyn if there's any reason why we can't do that.
Actually, I think I proposed that we have an archive for the XCOM. Wouldn't that fulfill what the request is?
Yeah. I mean, if we're going to have an archive, if people would prefer to just see it real time. I know, like, with the archive, it's sometimes, you know, a little cumbersome to go back and check it out and try to follow everything, but... But I don't have any issue with that at all. Steve or Chris?
Chris, here. There is a lot of traffic on the XCOM list. Some of it is ideas and thoughts, which in some cases I don't feel like disturbing the whole membership. When we look at question one, we do see the results. If we look at that, I can't remember exactly now, but it was so many for saying about the right amount, and others were saying too much on the list, and very few or nobody was saying not enough. So I'm reluctant to move some of that traffic across onto the main list. I don't think there's anything in the charter. The XCOM archive could be open by password to people, so it doesn't actually go out in their mailing list, but they can see what's on it. I personally tend to favour something where it's the archive is almost available 1 month or 2 months afterwards, because I can see times when things are getting discussed, and it's just a temporary idea that's thrown around, and it doesn't become anything, and it could set off chains of discussions when it isn't necessarily the case. That's just a view of mine. Thanks.
If Marilyn, maybe I'll just say one other thing about the XCOM. The XCOM doesn't take decisions about policy, so maybe we need to assess how much noise about administrative planning the members can tolerate. I don't have an answer on that. I'm just, you know, I think we try to keep the XCOM conversation about administrative stuff mostly.
Certainly, I think at a minimum we should look at archiving the information and making it available for the sake of accountability and transparency. I have no issue with making this information available, and we'll look and see at what the best possible way to do that is without being too disruptive. Aparna, I see you have your hand up.
Yes, I was going to go back to a point that you raised about transparency earlier.
Yes.
I think partly this is because I'm a little bit new to the business constituency, but for me sometimes it's a little bit hard to follow who represents which interest specifically. So, I mean, I guess Google is a bad example because most of you know who we are and also what we do and what our interests are in the internet space and in the ICANN space, but for other folks it's not quite as apparent, and just some additional discussion of, oh, I'm a consultant, I have these kinds of clients, and, you know, that's kind of my perspective on where I'm coming from would be helpful.
Okay. Yeah, so that is... point well taken. I agree. And maybe we can do, we can ask people to announce their affiliation when they're speaking on the calls, and, you know, one sentence about who that company is. I think that would be helpful. And as I expect that we'll be adding some other new members here in the short term and hopefully in the longer term as well. So I think we have to take into consideration that members don't know everyone and need to need some assistance in becoming familiar with who everyone else is. Other thoughts about ways for improving the effectiveness of the business constituency? We've talked about adding some particular topics like the registry services request and registry security and a group, perhaps a working group on new GTLD registry launches, maybe a group around ATRT, a working type group. We've talked about document repository, the need for greater transparency, possibly setting up an archive for the XCOM distribution list. And I know Benny is also taking notes as well, and we'll have a recording if I've missed anything. But anything else anybody has ideas on for improving the overall effectiveness?
Elisa, this is Bill Smith.
Yeah.
To follow up to Aparna's comment, I think it's a good idea to know, for us to know sort of who we are dealing with. And that becomes somewhat difficult, I think, with consultants and attorneys. But we also have to be, I think we have to be cognizant of, the ability to maintain client confidentiality, et cetera. I also think if every time we're on a phone call, you have to announce who you are and what you are, sort of what your representation interests are, that could be problematic. Would we consider doing something like a website where each member puts in a one sentence or one paragraph thing that says, this is us, here's what we do. And then people can reference that at any time, during a call or any other time. And I raise this because I hear frequently on, or have heard, not so much recently, but calls for, well, you have a conflict of interest on such and such an issue. My read of the ICANN conflict of interest policy is that it is only, that the only conflicts really are those involving financial obligations at the board level, and the financial conflict there where decisions are being made, and then that filters down into the different constituencies. And that would only apply to the executive committee, in my opinion. That only the executive committee members could have conflicts of interest, not participants. Because we all are conflicted. We all have interests.
Right.
And otherwise, we wouldn't be here.
Yeah, right.
So what we, in my opinion, what we really need to be sure of when we're discussing things at the BC by members is that we all are generally aware of who we are talking to and have a rough idea, not necessarily specifically. We don't want trade secret or anything like that. But we have a rough idea who we're talking to and why they are advocating a position, okay? I don't want to know the clients or customers necessarily of people. I would kind of like to know, you know, what they're advocating for and perhaps why, but in the most general terms, and I think that much of this becomes obvious through the course of discussion, but to Aparna's point, I think you don't know necessarily right up front when you hear a name.
Right.
It's difficult to tell, especially as the BC gets bigger. But I, for one, would like us to, on a going-forward basis, have fewer issues raised about conflicts of interest. I think we all are conflicted.
Yeah, no, I agree. Hey,
Lisa, this is John.
Yes.
You know, the mechanism for doing that already exists. I mean, ICANN has the statement of interest methodology that it uses. I know that, so for example, Zahid and I have statements of interest that are on the GNSO Council website. I don't see any reason why we couldn't adopt the statement of interest for the BC and port it right to our website, or even within the context of ICANN Confluence, which are all tools that are available to us. And we could ask members to keep a current statement of interest so that we don't have to slow down the conversation that we have, but that everybody has access to everybody else's background.
That's a great idea. I would mention that there is a document. It is a bit outdated. It's a Meet the BC document, and it's got a little bio on who all the members are, and I know that we need to do some updating to that document. But I think, John, that's a great idea about a brief statement of interest from everyone. And also, Bill, I understand your point. Yeah, we don't want to spend, you know, an extra 10 minutes on the call having people describe, like, who they represent and who their company is. But at least for people to say, you know, I work for Mark Monitor, which is, you know, a brand protection company, or, you know, or if you are working for, let's say, PayPal or Google, I think then people will know who you're representing. But all those points.
Right, but, you know, interestingly enough, I mean, I wouldn't want to promote this as a cure-all for this. I mean, we are aware of historical instances where it seems as if people were advocating for things that didn't seem material, but then perhaps they took a new job. And it did seem.
Right.
So, you know, it's not going to be a cure-all, but it could be a helpful step forward to respond to the concern that Bill and others have expressed.
Yeah, I think I saw in the survey the concern is oftentimes about, you know, consultants, exactly sort of who they're representing, what kinds of companies they're representing.
I'd like to get in the queue on this topic. It's Marilyn.
Actually, I want to go to Gabby because she's been patiently waiting, and I've seen her hand up. So, Gabby, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's great. Thank you. I agree with everything that has been said, and I wanted to talk also about a more plain or basic material that we can maybe use for new members in general. I would like to have, like, some kind of tool that would be like a 15 or 10 minutes webinar that I can send to potential BC new members, and that they will understand what does it mean to be a part of the BC and how many times a week they will have to, how many hours a month they will dedicate to this, and what are the options of, your benefits of being a member, everything that we have put in different kinds of documents that are available, but in a specific webinar for us to be able to send to potential new participants. And that would be really useful, particularly for my region, and I will be able maybe to translate that into Spanish and to have a document that everyone will have consensus, and not me saying what the BC is in Spanish, but me saying something that everyone really agrees with it. And, like, for instance, when they come for the first time to a call, that they will feel more comfortable and they will understand more where they are joining, who they are joining, and what it's all about. Because it took me a lot of time, for instance, as a personal testimony, it took me a lot of time to really understand how to join, what to do, when to talk, what was important for me, and what, well, it took me a lot of time and effort. So I think it's going to be better if we do some kind of welcome document for new members. I'm not sure if this makes any sense to others. Thank you.
Yes, I, it makes a lot of sense. I totally agree with you. I think it's a great idea, and I found myself in need of having a similar document as well to help people, potential new members, understand, you know, why they should join, and also to help them understand the role we play and actually how ICANN works and all of that. So I do think there is a need, and I appreciate your comments.
Thank you.
Marilyn, I do want to get to the charter changes. So if you have a comment, if you can go ahead.
It's going to be quick. I think that John's idea is excellent. But I do just want to note that consulting companies that provide consulting services today are perhaps not that different from some of the larger companies who are members of the BC who may also have different interests. So I think declaring interests overall, John's suggestion sounds to me like an excellent one. It doesn't single out any particular entity. but it allows everyone to disclose what their interests are. It should be, I think, on the BC Wiki site. But I leave that to you and Benny to talk about. But then anyone, all members, could go quickly and say, oh. And if we all agreed informally to keep it current, it's kind of a gentleman's or gentlewoman's agreement. Sorry for that. That might be a great idea.
Thanks, Marilyn. I know we won't probably get to our very last item, which is on outreach, but basically everyone sort of supported. There was one person who did not support doing a webinar, and I will, after we get past Beijing, I would like us to consider doing outreach via webinars, and if other people have ideas for outreach, let's take those on the list, because I want to spend the last portion of this call talking about charter changes. This is something that has come up repeatedly, and there seem to be two areas in particular where people were looking for charter changes. One was around term limits, and one was around appointments, and appointments in particular related to things like the nominating committee. So I'd like to open this up for discussion around charter changes. And I see, and Gabby, is your hand still up from the last time?
No, sorry. The old one.
Okay, sorry. Andrew.
Lisa, I was actually going to respond to or kind of ask a question about the representation thing. But if we want to talk about that at the time, I'm happy to drop out.
If you have a quick comment, go ahead.
Just my quick comment is that as someone who is new and runs a consulting firm, I think we've got to be careful to make sure that the perfect is not the enemy of the good, in the sense that it is a bit of a shifting agenda a lot of the time. Sometimes a client that you have may have a strong feeling about it. Sometimes it may be, you know, I'm in the BC and I don't have a client that has a particular thing that we're looking at. I'm wondering if it there are going to be times when you're not representing someone, or many times when you may not be, and you're just trying to play your role as part of the business community. And I don't know how we get to that, but I would hope that whatever system we put together doesn't overly impute interest on behalf of some of your clients who may or may not be interested in a particular topic. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I think we're just looking to help new members especially understand who the other members are. At a high level.
Cool. Okay. Thanks. Go on. I didn't mean to delay.
Oh, no worries. Sarah.
Yes. So on the charter changes, I helped draft that charter for the BC originally, and I've also looked at how that charter compares to others and ICANN, and we look like we're the only constituency that's had basically no kind of term limits, and I think that's not good for the BC. It's helpful to grow new leadership and to encourage people to take on new roles. So, the IPC, for example, has a 4-year term. People, you know, they often switch roles, but at least there's constant movement, and I think that's good. So I would support that kind of change on term limits. And on appointments, I think it's critical for the nominating committee, for other key roles in ICANN, that if there are more than two people who want to serve, that have an election rather than an appointment. I think that's important for transparency, and I think it's a decision that should be made by the full membership. We had asked after the NomCom incident to have the executive committee say whether they had a conflict of interest and whether they could attest that they're not going to seek a board seat. So it raises all sorts of questions that don't get raised if you have an election. So that those two are critical to me.
Yeah, I think those are both issues that I've heard from others as well as being things that they would like to have addressed. And I need to understand for myself, for my own edification, how we go about implementing the changes. But those are definitely two that are on the table that we want to put forward to the members, and I think basically pursue changes on. Now, there's one thing that I'm sure Marilyn I think she may have sent out an she certainly sent out an email to the EPCOM, and I don't know if it went out to the full membership, but when we make these charter changes, they go out, my understanding is they go out for public comment, and the entire, and this is in no way to say that we shouldn't make the changes, because that's not what I'm saying at all. I just want to make Marilyn's point, let me just make it briefly, that the whole charter will go out for public comment.
Right, at least if I might. Is it okay if I
yeah,
speak now? About, thank you. Of course, the BC should consider charter changes that are important and should advance those, and I fully support that, but I just thought it was important that everybody understand that the board has revised the process, and now all Elisa's point, all charter changes will be posted for public comment. All charter changes, that means everything in the charter, not just the changes, but everything in the charter will be open to public comment, and then the board will have to approve. That may not be a problem to us. I'm not suggesting it is, but I just think it's important for us to know, and let me say why. The BC is quite unique. We have two seats on the nominating committee, which is very, very unique. No one else does. Certain other parties object to that. We may want to think about our charter changes, how they make sense, and make sure we can deal with any public comments.
Thanks, Elise.
Yeah, I mean, one possible option is that we make a decision to just not, for instance, for the nominating committee, that we no longer do that by executive committee decision, that just isn't, that we just do that by a vote, and that's what we're going to do from now on. But I do think the term limits is something that we very much, we don't have a way to, aside from a change to the charter, to get that change. Sarah, do you have any, I see your hand up, so I wasn't sure if that was from before.
No, I just wanted to add that I don't think we should be afraid to make good changes because the community will comment on them. I think the term limits is still important, and the fact that we have two non-com seats, one for large and one for small business, if you have an election that's based on those factors, that makes a lot more sense than appointment where, that those two seats also are at risk. So.
Yeah. Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. I've cut and pasted a whole series of charter clauses that really where I've had experience, and there are all lots of little things to do with the eligibility, the billing, what is the date that a member joins, the terms of the finance committee, certain things, finance committee charged with assisting member retention, which isn't something that's really practical. So rather than, we haven't really got time to go through all these now, but I can send them to the private list, I suppose, so that members can see them, and we can pick them up whenever we do change the charter, because there are a number of little practical things that we should try and get better when we do the change. Thanks.
Oh, that would be great. I'm sure we'll want to incorporate all of, it would be best to be able to incorporate all of the changes at one time. Any other ideas or thoughts about other things we want to consider changing in the charter? It doesn't look like there are any others. So we are actually at the top of the hour, and I hope first of all, let me thank you all for your input. I really appreciate everyone taking the time to complete the survey and for joining today's call and for your feedback. And we've got a lot of very good feedback, and there are definitely a lot of good ideas here and things that I think we should really pursue further, and when we are in Beijing, I'm hopeful that we can continue some of these discussions and, definitely pursue discussions about how we move forward with the charter changes. Does anybody have anything else that they would like to add before we close the call? Well, I know that Benny has been on the call, and as I would like to get some feedback on this. Benny has been spending a fair amount of time preparing meeting minutes after the calls, which is something new. And, you know, she will do that for this call as well. Any feedback on those meeting minutes, whether or not they're useful to you? If you can even respond in the chat, that would be helpful to me to get some feedback on that, because it is a fair amount of work, and if nobody is getting value out of it, I don't want to continue doing that. But
I was thinking about a round of applause.
Yes, no, I find them to be extremely useful, and they're very helpful, and I would just like to confirm that others are seeing the value. So if you want to use the chat or send an email to the BC private list just to let me know on that. With that, I would like to thank everyone for joining. If anybody has anything else to share or say, please do send on the list. And I'm really looking forward to seeing everybody that will be attending the meeting in Beijing next week. And for those of you attending remotely, we'll look forward to following up with you again. All right. Thanks so much, everyone. Bye-bye.